It is so good to be here today to see everybody. I'm so grateful my wife is with me today because she keeps me in check and she reminds me when we're together that life is all about the adventure. Life is just all about the adventure. So when Vicki and I are together, we get kind of adventured together in all of that. So I'm going to start off with a joke, like we always do. Yes, you're going to love the joke, yes. And then this joke actually came from one of the boys last week. And this message this week is part two of what we introduced last week when I was with the kids over at the Bryan Church of Christ. So the joke is the joke from Kurt. And I'm going to say the first part of the joke, and you're going to respond by saying, I don't know. So let's practice that. One, two, three. Okay. That's so lame. I mean, we're gonna do push-ups. Like when I was in basic training, if someone fell asleep in the assembly, we all did push-ups. So you're gonna be awake today if we're gonna be in Mark chapter 1. So one more time. One, two, three. All right, very well done. Okay, so here's the first part of the joke. Who do you call when your toe falls off? You call a tow truck, duh. See, she got it. There's always one in the room that's got it. Well done. You guys will be getting it driving home. I'm sure Steve Heine will be driving home and be like, oh, a tow and a tow truck. I mean, sometimes quickly, sometimes slow. Okay, so that's the joke of the day. Now, every bad joke has a punchline, right? Have you ever looked down and seen your toe fall off? Have you ever done something or have you ever experienced something where it's like, ow, maybe it's something that was the result of somebody else's decision. Maybe you're driving on the highway like our son was this last week and his tire went flat. Somebody left a nail at the job site on the ground and he looked at his toe, kind of, his tow truck and was like, my tire's flat. Or maybe it's a relational experience at work. Maybe somebody at work was just being a knucklehead, and you're like, my toe fell off. Who do you call when your toe falls off? A tow truck. And you get stuck in this experience that you didn't choose. And I think on some level, life is a series of decisions, and sometimes the things we experience are the result of somebody else's decisions, good, bad, or indifferent. And we have to recognize that. But sometimes the things we experience are the result of our own decisions, of the things that we decide. And again, good, bad, or ugly. But sometimes we are the result of that. This next picture on the screen was a decision that Jason, our buddy Jason Stoner, made. He made a decision to do a belly flop. And somebody caught it on camera perfectly. I love the look of the lifeguard. She's like, ooh. She was getting down from her stand thinking, I'm going to have to give this meatball mouth-to-mouth resuscitation as he does. And I love the picture of the kid sitting on the edge of the water. He's like, ooh. I mean, it's just sometimes our experiences are a result of a dumb decision that we made. Maybe it's like me, where you're just driving too fast all the time, and once in a while, with the law of averages, you get caught. And that happens in Auburn a lot, of course. And I know all the police officers in Auburn, because I used to preach in Auburn, and half of them were in the church. And every so often, I get pulled over by someone, one of the police officers, they're like, Pastor Joe, is it possible for you to stop at the four-way stop signs? You've been living in the Midwest for 14 years. Maybe it's a time that you actually abide by the law of the road. I mean, sometimes the experiences that we have are the result of the decisions we make, the belly flop. I just love that. Every time I look at it, I giggle. People ask, what do you do? I mean, how do people show up at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home? Well, it's kind of like that. We just leap off the side and we're just hanging in midair. We interview with the house parents and the different staff members who come and serve at the Children's Home, but it's hard to explain what they're going to experience. I like to use the metaphor of it's like sipping out of a fire hydrant. I mean, it's really hard. You have to learn to pull your head back. But that's a perfect image. That's going to go into our interview slides because we usually take about a year or so, a year and a half to interview people. But that's also what the children who come into our care, on some level, they're making that leap of faith because the Woodburn Christian Children's Home was a place you get to come to if you have what it takes to seize an opportunity, right? That's first and foremost for the people who serve there. We're celebrating what God is accomplishing at the children's home today. And many of the people serving there seized the opportunity. The Woodburn Christian Children's Home is a place you get to come to if you have what it takes to seize an opportunity. We, as the adults, lead in that realization of the get to come to, and then the children catch on to that passion and vision when we meet with them in their particular discouraged state, and we say to them, the Woodburn Christian Children's Home is a place you get to come to if you have what it takes to see it. It's a leap of faith. It's a decision. It's a decision, I would suggest, a decision we make at the crossroads. If we go to that next slide, you'll see this perfect, wonderful digital artwork that was done. I had some thoughts about it, but a young person up in Auburn, he's a teenager, a couple years ago, and he meditated and ruminated on Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. And that's a powerful passage. We're not going to be staying in there very long today. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1, but in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads. This is his expression of standing at the crossroads. For you visual learners, of which I am, that's a powerful image. It's a crossroad decision. The experiences that we have flow from crossroad decisions. Sometimes it's the decisions of other people. A lot of times it's our own decisions. That's what we're going to talk about today. Standing at the crossroads. Looking and wondering which way to go. There's two ways to go on that picture. There's the man-made way with our own man-made opinions. I know what's best for you. I know what's best for me. Those man-made reactions, you know me. I see a speed bump, I speed up. Don't tell me what to do. I mean, it's just caught up in my heart. Does anybody else get really irritated when they see speed bumps? Anybody? Yes, right. I'm not alone. Does anybody else play? I just want to identify with the audience. Does anybody else play with Legos while watching golf on TV on Sunday afternoons? Yes, thank you. Thank you, Adam Cooper. Very well done. And your buddy Cooper. So, yes, one road goes to the man-made city of Babylon, which metaphorically speaking is the city of destruction. It's where we think we got it. Our toe falls off because of somebody else's fault. It's a place that it's the exact opposite of Josh's powerful communion devotion. Oh, my goodness, that was a good message, Mr. Burton. And I love the silence that follows. It reminds me of all the narratives I've got churning around in my brain. Once a week, I sit in silence. I'm like, oh, my goodness, there's a lot of noise up there. I love the silence built into the time of communion here. It's just cherishing. And so one road goes to the city of Babylon, right, to the place of destruction, the place where I got it. And the other goes to the narrow path, the way of God, the way that only God created. And it's dusty and dirty. It's mysterious by nature, right? You don't see where it's going. It's got hills and valleys. It leads into eternity. The man-made path has a pretty clear destination. The way of God is the way of eternity, and we enter into that path by faith. By faith. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, if you go to the next slide, you'll see that. One more back, sorry. Yep. So Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 reads, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. That's what we're going to do for the next 21 minutes. Stand at the crossroads and look, because I could smell the food. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths or the path of Christ, if we're looking at it through the cross. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Of course, the Lord speaking to the people of faith of the Old Testament, the Israelites, in exile. And he's telling them, you should have stood at the crossroads and chose a different way, but they didn't. And so he's kind of speaking in a retroactive sense to them. Stand at the crossroads and look, Israelites, people of faith, the Harlan Church of Christ, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it. You'll find rest for your souls, but you said we will not walk in it. We are given this opportunity to make a decision at the crossroads. So today we really want to kind of zoom into making that decision at the crossroads. Once, first and foremost, we're going to zoom out looking at our salvation, and then we're going to zoom into the everyday life. But we can't miss both. It's to move out, to move in. So all the illustrations from the Bible are going to move us out and going to move us back in. But making a decision at the crossroads all focuses on faith. Nobody in this world lives without faith, whether they're in Christ or not. There is no living without faith. Either it's faith in ourselves and what we think is best, or faith in God the Father. So our challenge as Christians and as those approaching Christ maybe here, the challenge is to settle deeply into the faithfulness of God. That's the crossroad decision. Faith in the faithfulness of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. If you write in your Bibles, right next to it, just write faith in the faithfulness of God. Because Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 is all about faith in the faithfulness of God. Jesus, through the incarnation, through his childhood, through his declaration of faith in God in his baptism, because Jesus is the perfect expression of faith in the faithfulness of God. We can never lose the sight of Jesus in all of this. Jesus, in his temptation, he did not succumb to the temptation of Satan, because Jesus was perfectly faithful in the faithfulness of God. And those temptation, that temptation narrative is a beautiful way of seeing that played out. And then Jesus shows up at the crossroads of humanity, not just me individually, of humanity. In the New Testament, humanity, Jesus stands at the crossroads and he says, after John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee, and at those crossroads, Jesus said, the time has come. Right now, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Right there on those crossroads. And it's a reaffirmation for our hearts, standing at the crossroads. Life is a series of decisions. Jesus had that eternal crossroad conversation with us, and that those words have echoed through the corridor of time into our hearts today. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That's the crossroad decision. That's the faith in the faithfulness of God. That isn't faith in ourselves. That's trusting that God has a kingdom of heaven that he wants us to join. He wants us to take that path in that direction. Sometimes we find ourselves in all kinds of places based on all kinds of decisions we've made. We could probably all sit down with a piece of paper and draw through our life story and ask that and answer that question, how in the world did we end up here? I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting question. Have you ever asked yourself that question? How did I end up here? Where my feet are, where my toe is. I like to use that joke that Kurt gave me about the toe because it reminds me of where my feet are right now. Too often I start off where my feet were or where my feet are going to be. That joke brings me back to the now. But it's interesting how we sometimes wander about in our journeys and we forget on that rugged dirt path that we're on the path of salvation. People come at us crooked. People, like Josh was talking about during Sunday school, powerful message about narcissism. I kept on trying to not listen. And I was like, oh, gosh, why is he talking about me the whole time? But it's about timidity is hard when pride kind of sneaks its way in. But we're still on the path. We're still on the path. At the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, yeah, we two steps forward, one step back. As a staff, as a child, as a family, but we're still on the path. I watch my own children make decisions, and I'm like, that's going to leave a mark. Why'd you do that? Well, they're still on the path. They're just still on the path. So repent and believe. That's the crossroad decision. That is the big picture. But when we get into this day-to-day living, what does that look like? I mean, faith in what? That's really probably the first question. So I'm going to say that question, faith in what? And because I don't want you to be falling asleep, you're going to say, I don't know. If you play my game, we get to lunch quicker. All right, so remember that, I don't know. All right, so faith in what? I don't know. Okay, you got to say it like a question. You have to be like, the last part's got to go up. Ready? Faith in what? I don't know. Duh. Okay, so faith in what? And so we have to be reminded of that, because if you just hop, I was leafing through Mark as I was taking the words of Jesus and watching him illustrate it. It's really neat in Mark, the way it's laid out is, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the good news. That statement is illustrated throughout the book of Mark, especially in the next couple of chapters. And you just kind of flip through, you see some of the illustrations. The one that caught my eye is in Mark chapter 7. Because it helps to answer faith in what? Because at the crossroads, we have to kind of think about faith in what? And this woman in this little tiny narrative in Mark chapter 7, she's a hero of my faith. I have no idea what her name is. I have no idea the color of her eyes. I don't know how tall she is. I don't know what her favorite food is. I never met her, but she's a hero of my faith because she made a crossroad decision. Who's the hero of your faith? Do you have heroes in your life? The heroes of your faith? Listen to this, a little passage. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus left that place because he was on his journey. He was on that road, that crossroad road, and went to the vicinity of Tyre, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. So it's all about this messianic, you know, secret. It's about revealing things at time. He entered a house and did not want to know it. Anyone to know, yet he could not keep his presence secret. This is Mark 7, verse 24, verse 25. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. A desperate mom. She's at that crossroads. Her daughter is consumed with this evil. A desperate mom. We come alongside a lot of desperate moms and dads. And so do you folks. This isn't exclusive to the Woodburn Christian Children's. We've got people you're working with who are desperate. Despair. Only mentioned one time in the New Testament, despair. Hope is mentioned all over the place. But she was desperate. I love this picture. She fell at his feet. That spirit of timidity. The woman was a Greek. Interesting. Born in Syria. And she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Desperate mom begging Jesus. And then Jesus responded to her. This is verse 27. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. That's a speed bump passage. Jesus, did he just call her a dog? It's interesting. It's a powerful message. And he did. Now, there's a couple different words for dogs in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there's a dog, there's a word for a dog that's like this nasty, horrendous, filthy thing, and there's a word for a dog that's more of a kind of a softer version of that. He's using the softer version. So in the Greek, she would have picked it up. We have one word for all kinds of dogs. The dogs you love, the dogs you hate, the dogs that bark all the time, the dogs that bite you. They're all the same dog. In the Greek, there's different words for different. So, but he calls her a dog. This desperate mom comes to Jesus, a faith crossroad decision. He calls her a dog. And she responds in this beautiful way. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Now, there's a little hint in the Greek, because Jesus begins in verse 27 by saying first, and that assumes there's a second. If there wasn't a second, he wouldn't have mentioned first. The first is the people of the Old Testament. The second is us. So there's a first and a second. And so she knew that he was including her by saying first. It's a play on words. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She responded in faith. He called her a dog, so to speak. And she said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And she just wanted a little tiny crumb. She just wanted a little itty bit of a crumb, just like that communion bread that we use here. She just wanted a crumb that she could feed to her daughter because she was consumed by evil. I love this passage. It's a crossroad decision based on faith. It's not based on dogs. It's not based on circumstances. It's based on faith. She came to the crossroads. Faith in what? She had faith in the power of Jesus. She had heard about Jesus. This Syrian area is a non-Jewish area for the most part. But his power had already spilled into that area. And she heard he was there even though he was trying to keep secret. He didn't want anybody to know. He slipped into the house so no one would know he was there. But she knew he was there. And her faith at that crossroad motivated her. Just give me a crumb. Just a little tiny thing off the floor. I need something. Sometimes we come to the crossroads looking for crumbs. I've come looking for crumbs. We've had kids come in our care looking for crumbs. We've had staff come looking for crumbs. What's my purpose? What's the point of all of this? How did I end up here? You know, life is an adventure to be experienced, not a task to be completed. This lady was looking for a crumb. She's a hero of my faith. Absolutely a hero of my faith. And there's so many others that we could kind of play this out, who have made those crossroads decisions by faith. But it's not faith just in his healing. It's faith in the plan of salvation. We have to keep ourselves zooming out. We pray for people whose toes have fallen off. We pray for people whose financial problems are a mess. I don't know whose decisions they were that they found themselves in a financial mess, but most of the time it's their own. We pray for people who's having medical problems, who's having whatever, relational problems, their toe has fallen off. But let's not forget that it's not about the toe. It's about eternity. It's about zooming out. Every one of the kids in our care, our prayer for them first and foremost is they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is what Hal wrote in the newsletter article for September. You'll get it in your mailbox next week. It's okay about teaching them this and teaching them that and helping their behaviors here and helping their behaviors there, but it's not about the toe. It's about eternity, salvation. And so Jesus, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, begins in verse 1 with this powerful declaration of who Jesus is. You'll spend your whole life understanding Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ is a title. When I first came to Christ on February 3rd, 2002, when I was 33 years old, I thought Christ was a last name. I had no clue. I had no idea that Christ was a title. It means the anointed one. Anointed what? To fulfill the plan of salvation that was disclosed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament. Christ, the anointed one, the king who is supposed to accomplish a task, the messianic task, and the Son of God. That's a title beyond titles all over the Old Testament. The Son of God, God himself. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's a little cryptic. Thankfully, God gave us more, for instance, in Colossians chapter 1. This is a powerful passage. If you want to work with someone to help them accept Christ, Colossians 1, beginning in verse, well, I like to begin in verse 13. Colossians 1, 13 is a great place to go to. It helps to flesh out Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It helps us understand who is this person standing at the crossroads saying, repent and believe. Christ is not his last name. Listen to what Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and following. Picture this. For Jesus has rescued us from the dominion, for God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. But listen to verse 15. They're describing Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that everything, in everything, he might have the supremacy. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When we talk about faith, making crossroads decisions based on faith, it's always, always first and foremost about salvation. And then we decide where to go serve and who to marry and what college to go to and which car to buy and how to spend our finances and how to spend our time. All these other things, but we can't miss the big first and foremost picture. It's about Jesus. That's the crossroad decision. And I believe we need to reaffirm that every single day. We make our decision. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Lord and Savior. We're immersed in Christ. That's the decision that begins all the other day-to-day decisions. At the children's home, we always want to be reminded we believe Jesus is the Christ. And it's so important for us to settle into that crossroad aspect, because the greatest heroes of my faith were the ones who never wandered from that basic truth. I knew they believed in Jesus. And I saw that expressed out in their actions. And that's kind of where this is going to go to. We're going to finish it up here in just a few minutes, but I want to hop to the second part of the question. You know, we asked faith in what? Jesus. These crossroad decisions. I want to get to the second part of the question is, what is faith? We want to be able to make sure we answer both sides of the coin, faith in what and what is faith. So what is faith? You're going to say again, I don't know. One, two, three, what is faith?
I don't know.
Thank you. So what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11 helps us understand what is faith. We were here last week with the kids over at Bryan. We were on the other side of Hebrews chapter 11. We were in chapter 12. We talked about, you know, the things that caught up and catch up in the gears of our faith. The sins that so easily entangle and all those kind of things. This week we're gonna be on this side of Hebrews chapter 12, and it's right there in verse 1 of chapter 11, we're given this answer to what is faith. What is faith? Verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I have some ancients in my life. Do you have ancients? Who are the heroes of your faith? Who are your ancients? One of my ancients is a guy named Wayne Michael up in the Auburn Church of Christ. He's an ancient. I've called him an ancient. He's like, does that mean I'm old? Yeah, you're old. I mean, goodness. But he's my ancient in the faith. He's my stained glass window. I see Christ through him. And I think that's really important for us, because faith is a confidence and a certainty of what we hope for, which is our salvation in Christ. It's not, I wonder if I'm saved. It's not, I hope God's in a good mood that day. It's a blessed assurance. And I believe we have to say yes to that and no to everything else. We have to say no to the messy humanity and our relational experiences that take away our confidence. We have to say no to that garbage and say yes to that one main thing, confidence in the salvation offered through Christ. What are you saying yes to? That was a question we kind of kicked around last week with the kids, and they've got built-in forgetters like the rest of us. So what are you saying yes to? Are you saying yes to the mess? Or are you saying yes to the confidence and the assurance and the salvation at the crossroads? That's the undertone of the experience at the crossroads. What are you saying yes to? We're so easily saying yes to the junk, to the finances, and to the people who get crooked at us. We say yes to the feelings of being less than and being, like Mr. Burton said, we confuse timidity with low self-esteem. We get all this kind of messed up stuff, and we sit here silently at communion time. All these things are running through our head. All the things that we've said yes to when we should be saying yes to the elements in front of us. It's important for us to ask that question because I believe my own personal paraphrase, this is not scripture. You can notice on the screen, the scripture's in bigger font. My paraphrase is, faith is confidence in God's love expressed in actions. Confident in God's love. I have to remind myself, God loves me. No, you're a loser. No, God loves you. No, you, I mean, I have this dialogue with myself. The people in my life, my friends, we're reminding each other, no, God loves you. You're valued. You have worth. You have honor. You have dignity. But I feel like a loser. Look what happened. Look at this. Look at these people. Look what they're making me feel. Doesn't matter. Confidence in our value and worth. It doesn't matter how we were treated. It doesn't matter how we're being treated. We're still valuable. We're still valuable. Confidence, and that's fleshed out in activity. This is the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed out of God's command so that what is seen is not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, that he rewards those he earnestly seeks him. These are the ancients that they're commended by their faith. And my favorite, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world because of and became heir of the righteousness that comes from God. These ancients were commended for their faith. And it's faith is confidence in God's love and his faithfulness. That's what the ancients were commended for. Noah wasn't commended because he was a carpenter and built an ark. We worship the ark like it's the thing. It's not the thing. The ark is just the expression of his faith. We sometimes, it doesn't take long for humanity. I've been to the ark down in Kentucky. That's interesting. But I'm more focused on Noah's faith than the wood. The wood's just wood. These ancients weren't commended for what they did. They were commended for their faith. Who's your ancient? Who's your hero of the faith who believed? Who believed when everything else should say he shouldn't believe? That's the ones who have fed me when I was at my lowest. Is the ones who believed when everything else suggests otherwise. And it's not just big stuff like Noah. You know, we go back to Mark chapter 1. Look at some simple ones. Some ancients that were commended for their faith. You know, Jesus said the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, repent and believe the good news. That's verse 15. And verse 16, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them in verse 17, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I love that. At once, they left their nets and followed him. They were confident at that crossroad decision to just leave it and move on. And then right after that, just in case we didn't get that one, because these are speed bumps, sometimes we speed over the first one. When Jesus had gone a little further in verse 19, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Of course, I'm picturing this in my little pea brain that they're out in the boat and these two meatballs, James and John, are on the shore pulling them in, and he's just like, come follow me. They drop the rope and just walk away. I hope someone brought the boat in. I mean, they were out. I'm not sure if they were out off the shore or where they were, but the immediacy of their crossroad decision was not based on their own power. It was based on the faithfulness of God. They believed, and they had so little bit of knowledge, unlike us. Christ wasn't glorified yet. They still believed in the faithfulness of God, and they lived an adventure as a result of it. Life is an adventure to be experienced, not a task to be completed. Live the adventure of faith. That's what these were doing. And on and on and on. They were all illustrating their faith by their actions. So my closing question is, what is your faith illustrating? What is your faith illustrating? Is it illustrating confidence? Or is your faith illustrating something other than that? What is your faith? I mean, the Bible's full of contrast. You know, we talked about the desperate mom who just wanted a crumb for her child. We talked about Noah with his big ark and his faith expressed in a big way. We talk about, you know, the apostles and how they left everything. And it's all about these contrasts. These people were illustrating their faith, right? But there's also the contrast of illustrating their lack of faith. The Bible has all kinds of illustrations that way. And Judas lacked faith. He illustrated that in his betrayal. The Corinthians lacked faith, and they illustrated that by seeking worldly wisdom. The Galatians lacked faith, and they expressed that through legalism. The Ephesians and the Philippians lacked faith, and they expressed that through self-centeredness. Even the church at Laodicea in Revelation lacked faith, and they expressed that in lukewarm. They were not hot, and they weren't cold. They were lukewarm, and God spit them out. But what is your faith illustrating at the crossroads? It's a challenging thing. James tells us, you know, we know the James passage. We've heard it read 1,000 times, probably most of the time out of context. But nonetheless, James says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Yes, at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, we try really hard as a ministry team to show our faith by what we do. And as everybody's integral to it. Hal and Carol's integral to it. Jason and Heather. I don't want to start naming names, but Houseman, Dylan, everybody, all the house, everybody that is here now and was there before, and our board of directors all together help illustrate faith. And most importantly, the children in our care illustrate faith. Because they have jumped off the side, hovering over the water. They're jumping in full on, and they're believing that the Woodburn Christian Children's Home was a place you get to come to if you have. They are my heroes of the faith, the kids in our care. So what are you saying yes to? The mess or the faithfulness of God? Time will tell. Because your life will illustrate it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, Lord, as we gather today with joy in our hearts, knowing that you love us as expressed in Jesus Christ, we just pray, Father, that help us. We've got these built-in forgetters, Father. Help us to remember the main thing, that Jesus is the Christ, your Son, our beloved Savior. And help that be our anchor for our soul today. We pray this through the name of Jesus. Amen.